Today is July 12, 2018, and this is episode number 470 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and don't ask me what I think of you. You might not. Darn it, I'm messing up every time. It's funny, I cannot get that lyric right. Don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to, especially if your name is Ajit Pai.
Don't hold back, Brian. How do you really feel?
I think that that person is an awful human being. I think that he is not doing the people of this country any service whatsoever. I think that he is harming the United States of America.
He's given people the service, just not the right one.
Right people, you mean? Yeah. Right people, the right service,
right,
whatever.
Right people, whatever. Regardless, I understand why you're a wee bit frustrated and upset.
Yeah, he's the chairman of the FCC, or the Federal Communications Commission. For those who might not possibly know who that smug person's job is.
See, I was just waiting to see where you went.
It is taking great control to keep this family friendly.
I appreciate that because you know my position on editing shows.
Indeed.
Yeah. And for those of you that don't know my position on editing shows, I will tell people, sure, I'll edit that, and then I don't, because I don't actually like to edit.
All right. Let's come, by the way, it is funny, by the way, I have such a blank on that lyrics. I'm talking about the Fleetwood Mac. From like Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, 1969. And the lyric is, don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to, but I'm always wanting to say, you might not like the answer that I give to you, which is incorrect, but it's like every time.
I've always liked Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. I like Fleetwood Mac. I really like that song. It's a good song.
I remember in like junior high school and high school, I had to like keep it to myself because it was like a thing to not like them, and people would call the band Beatwood Smack, and I'm like, that's not even funny.
What?
That's just really stupid.
Why would they do that?
I have no
idea. The 80s?
Yeah, this was in the 80s.
Yeah, well, they were not. Yeah, fine. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Well, but I always liked them. Back then, I had to like them quietly. And now I can proclaim my Fleetwood Mac enjoyment openly.
They were my first concert.
Oh, fun.
The Fleetwood Mac. And Men at Work opened.
Interesting.
Curious combo, right?
Yeah. Very curious combo.
All right. Well, you know what else is a curious combo? You have no idea.
Butter.
You have no idea where I'm going
and
with that.
And bananas.
No, I don't really think that's curious, because too many people that try it like it. I don't try it. How about peanut butter and mayonnaise?
I have tried both.
That seems,
and I don't
more
like
curious
either. So to me, peanut butter and bananas is curious.
Peanut butter and dinner. All right. So, speaking of bananas,
yes,
I'm gonna mix all the metaphors today. Apple released a new MacBook Pro today.
They did, 13-inch and 15-inch touch bar MacBook Pros.
Both was there a non-touch bar version too?
The non-touch bar version did not get an update.
Well, you know, it's like you can't do too many products at once.
Right. It would break the internet.
It would break the internet. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what do we have? We have coffee. Right. Last year's processors finally. Am I getting this right?
Yes, but you know, I don't think it's fair to call Coffee Lake last year's processor, because it showed up last year, but in small numbers, and Intel's been ramping up production, so it's really like this year's processor, because this is the year when everyone's really getting a hold of it in significant numbers.
I did not expect to be saying what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Can't wait for Apple to dump Intel for its own processors.
I'm glad I was sitting down for that.
Can't wait. As much trepidation as I have about whether or not ARM can handle desktop computing needs. Mm-hmm. As much trepidation as I have about that, Intel is just not doing what Intel needs to do for mobile desktop computing. Well, anyway, mobile computing.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It feels like Intel's processors should be farther along than they are right now.
Yes.
So I totally get your frustration and why you would love to see Apple switch to ARM processors.
It's that I want Apple to switch to its own processor. We have seen Apple kicking butt with its AX processors, the processors used in iPhone and iPad and mm-hmm. Apple TV and Apple Watch and, whatever they're doing inside AirPods. Anyway, the main CPUs that are in iPhones, Apple is at this point the industry leader mm-hmm. when it comes to those mobile processors. And if Apple thinks that it can make a desktop class, probably a cluster of ARM processors, and probably using GPUs more significantly than they are today, mm-hmm. then I'm willing to trust Apple to do that, and I can't wait for it to happen.
I like the idea, but it also really concerns me.
What's that?
That's because if Apple were to switch to its own custom processor, which means that they wouldn't be making an Intel x86 clone, they would be making their own ARM processors.
Yeah.
At that point, Apple needs to convince developers, rewrite your code for this new processor. And in some cases, it'll be simple, because the apps will just be able to say, just recompile, and it'll be done. But when you look at more complex apps, like the high-end professional video, audio, graphics editing apps, like Adobe Creative Suite,
yep.
Good luck convincing Adobe to rewrite their entire Creative Suite for Apple's new processors.
Again. I would imagine that's already been done. That convincing them has already been done.
I think you're being like John Martellaro right here and being too optimistic.
Well, okay. Don't get me wrong. It wouldn't be unlike Apple to just expect Adobe to go along.
Oh, I'm totally with you right there.
Right? But I think, and keep in mind that this stuff is leaking, right? We know that Apple is like in 2020-ish. Well, that actually suggests that this has gotten outside of Apple. Mm. Do you see where I'm going here?
Yeah, I see where you're going here.
So I'm suggesting that the mere fact that we know about this suggest strongly that companies like Adobe have already been roped in.
It's possible, but that's a hard one for me to swallow. I mean, especially considering how resistant Adobe was to making the transition. I mean, they've had to do it twice. And the last time you know, it was going to Intel processors. And that one was an easier move because they were already writing code for Intel processors.
Yeah, but keep in mind that Adobe knows that if Apple successfully does this, the part of the Windows world will end up doing this too, and Chrome will probably end up moving to ARM. There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot that
maybe.
I'm not going to like stake my reputation on any of this, and I'm not going to bet large quantities of money on it. But again, we know about this. We did not know much in advance about, for instance, the move to Intel before Steve Jobs got on stage and said, "Yeah, we've been working on this for 5 years."
Right. That's true.
And no one outside Apple knew, and that's how come it was kept a secret. Well, I don't think it's any coincidence that here it is, 2018. We've been hearing rumors of a move to ARM for years, and we have had definitive leaks that Apple plans on moving Macs, or at least some Macs, to ARM starting in 2020. And that to me says that this information has been taken outside of Apple.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's okay. When I look at Adobe, since that's the example I brought up, I look at a company that has invested so much in very customized code. Like when you install Creative Suite on your Mac, you're essentially installing Adobe OS because it's
with a lot of Java.
Yeah, it's this insidious code, almost like a cancer, that just goes through the entire operating system and becomes part of your operating system.
Yeah, but think about how much of Adobe stuff has already been brought up. iPad and iPhone.
They have made custom apps for iOS. That is true.
Yeah, well, that's the start for all that stuff.
It is a start. However, if you look at Adobe's bread and butter, like real money business, that's Windows users.
Well, that's true. And that's been, you know, that's been an issue. Apple handled the last transition by giving us a world-class emulator. Now, admittedly, there are some differences in Apple. For instance, Apple doesn't really seem to care about the Macs, about Mac anymore, even though they keep telling us differently.
And I like how you said world-class emulator when I called it the painful transition.
Why? What do you mean? The Rosetta worked great. What are you talking about?
Rosetta was fine.
Rosetta was awesome. Rosetta was amazing. What are you talking about?
You weren't using it in the graphic design world.
Well, that's true.
It was painful. I mean, it worked.
But I did use it. I did use it with Dreamweaver. Go Live, actually, for a long time.
Man, I miss Go Live. I miss when the company was Go Live and the product was Cyber Studio.
Yes.
That's a throwback.
Yes. Well, and even when the company was Go Live, whatever. Yeah, it was fantastic. And Adobe pooped on it.
Totally. Oh man, just broke my heart. That was such an
and they pooped on it in part to dumb it down for the Windows world because it was such a Mac app.
Oh yeah, it was totally
that
thing.
That is one of the things that infuriates me most about Adobe is that when they decided that Windows was more important, they started dumbing down all of their software for Windows, and then having done that, they started leaving the Mac versions of their software as second class citizens without features. So like it's just
yep.
But I would say that Adobe and Apple work much better today together.
I agree. And yet I still get really worried about Apple doing a major processor switch and getting companies like Adobe to really be on board.
Yeah, I understand I do understand the trepidation. To me, at this point, I just want to get on with it. I just want to get on with it. And so back to this MacBook Pro update, at least we do get the 6-core version.
Yeah, that's great. Only in the 15-inch model, though.
Okay, fine. I get it. Because
the 13-inch model gets quad core, which it didn't have before.
Right. Mind you, the 13-inch version could have the 6-core option if Apple wasn't obsessed with thinness.
Yeah.
There's right. That. Form over function drives me nuts. And then there's the fact of this SSD prices. Have you seen those? Did you check that out?
I know Apple always charges a premium for their SSDs.
Yeah, premium doesn't begin to cut it.
But then I also know that Apple is doing stuff with their SSDs where there's some custom things happening and it probably bumps up the price, but not to the level that we're actually paying.
You know, the starting price actually is lower than I thought. $27.99 for the faster MacBook Pro 15-inch. That's with the 2.6 gigahertz 6-core processor. It's $300 more for 2.9. That comes with 16 gigs of memory. It's $400 more for 32 gigs of memory. That's pricey. But it's only a 512 gig SSD, and it's soldered in.
Right. And in the lower price model, it's only 256 gig SSD, which to me is insane in a pro machine.
That's not pro. That's not pro at all. That's not pro. That's not pro. It's not even pro. It's not even prosumer. It's amateur hour.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. What I expect to see in a MacBook or a MacBook.
Especially at that price. It's actually, that's crazy. So bumping it up to a gig, to a terabyte, to a terabyte is going to cost you $400 more.
Mm-hmm.
When you can buy 1 terabyte SSDs for under $200,
mm-hmm.
with an enclosure,
mm-hmm.
right? These don't even have an enclosure; they're soldered in.
Right. Yep.
Let's see here. Let's find out what's a 2 terabyte SSD. 2 terabytes going to cost you $1,200.
Yeah, and you can go up to 4 terabytes in this machine.
Yes, you can. I'm getting to that one. What? Oh, sick gig. 2 terabyte. Why can't I get? I want a 2 terabyte. Give me a 2 terabyte from Crucial. Look at Crucial's website. Bum, 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 bum. 2 terabytes, $449. Now, that's probably not up to, that's probably Crucial's entry level
mm-hmm.
product, but you can buy a full 2 terabytes for $449. Apple wants $1,200 for the update. And again, it's soldered in.
Mm-hmm.
And then for a 4 terabyte SSD, $3,200 or more than MacBook Pro.
The 4 terabyte SSD costs more than the entire computer.
Yes. Yeah, more than the entire computer with 16 gigs of RAM at least. And let's see here. Can we find a 4 terabyte SSD, guaranteeing you is not costing you $3,200 to get a 4 terabyte SSD. Here is the Samsung 4 terabyte 860 Evo SATA 3 for $1,051.
Okay,
that's again with an enclosure. Not soldered in.
All right. So how about the keyboard? New keyboard redesigned.
Yeah. Well, that's going to Apple needs to prove itself, right?
I agree. Yeah. Says the guy who has to take his MacBook Pro in to get its keyboard replaced a second time.
Yeah, I'm hoping to third time's the charm.
Yeah.
I think that's what Gandalf said.
Yes. Yeah. What I'm hoping is that when I take it in, Apple has the new keyboard, and that's what goes in there, and it just works.
Yeah. Let's hope that that is the case. It's going to probably be a few months before we know if the redesigned one takes care of the problem that is causing everybody. System to go out, but can we please get back to the $3,200 4 terabyte SSD? That's crazy, and it's soldered in. You can't update it later. You can't. Well, like,
we're making a bold assumption here, Brian. We're assuming it's soldered in.
Oh, I thought we knew that it's soldered in.
No, we haven't seen inside one of these.
Oh, okay.
At all?
Bet you it's soldered in.
It's very likely that it's
soldered. As thin as that thing is, I bet it's soldered in.
Yeah, it's the exact same form factor as my Touch Bar MacBook Pro.
Right. So thin. Which end soldered in?
Yeah, I believe mine is soldered in.
Yeah. So I bet you it is soldered in. $3,200 one way or another. Soldered, unsoldered. Unsoldered is insult to injury. Soldered, $3,200 for 4 terabyte SSD is nuts. I cannot imagine why Apple feels it needs to charge that. I can't even come close to fathoming that. You can buy them retail for $1,051.
There must be some insane tolerances on Apple's SSDs.
Or insane margins.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, to your point, it could be that Apple's specifications for these SSDs are so much higher than the top of the line Samsung retail SSD. That is conceivable.
Yeah. See, what I'm wondering is,
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. Well, not many people will at that price. But I'm wondering if, on some level, Chaffin's razor is coming into play, because the prices seem so high that they seem crazy. And as your razor dictates, if something seems like really crazy,
yeah, there's missing information. I suspect the missing information is merely margins that Apple feels like it can, and so it charged that. So it is. Yeah, that's my guess.
I would like to know the actual reason, if it's that or something else, because
right.
It's a lot of money. And yeah, if it costs you more than the price of the computer standard or stock to bump up your RAM and storage, then that's just, there's something wrong there.
Yeah. So FYI, if I can figure the one I would want,
I'm totally going to configure one right now. I'll tell you what mine would cost.
Actually, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at the 15-inch. I wouldn't get the 15-inch. Get the 13-inch. I spend my time on my iMac. Here's the reality. I will probably be getting whatever the rumored low-end MacBook update that's coming out. That could be a revamped MacBook Air. Mm-hmm. That's probably the device I would end up getting. But if I was going to get a MacBook, I would probably get the 13-inch MacBook, because I've been so pleased with my 13-inch MacBook Pro.
And I wouldn't consider the 13-inch because the video card's too important to me. And you don't have a separate video card in the 13-inch.
Really?
Graphics. Uh-huh.
Explain the huge price difference, the $1,000 price differential.
Let's see. So, All right. So I'm pricing out my MacBook Pro, if I were to get one.
Yeah.
I forgot to upgrade my processor to the Core i9. Okay. So actually, $4,699.
Well, what'd you do differently? I'm at $3,899.
All right.
I
did the 2.9 gigahertz Core i9, 6-core processor, 32 gigs of RAM, a 2-terabyte SSD, no extra software.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I got the 1-terabyte SSD.
Ah.
I would be okay with a terabyte.
You know, I have a terabyte in mine. The reason I would bump up to a 2-terabyte if I was getting a new one is because it's soldered in.
Yeah, I hear you. Spending $800 on $1,200 on a 2-terabyte SSD to me is just like, I think I'd rather like take a spork, break off all but one tine, and then with the resulting semi-spork, puncture my own eardrum.
You'd have a really hard time with that because a spork, it gets broad like a spoon.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to break off some of those tines. Okay, fine. I'll carve it down even further. I'll turn it into a shiv. A spork.
Now you do.
I'm going to break off all the tines. I'm going to hone it down until I turn it into a shiv.
Okay.
I'm going to wrap some tape around it so I have a nice good handle for a firm grip. And then I'm going to puncture my own eardrum rather than paying $1,200 for a 2-terabyte SSD.
Okay, now you've created a plausible scenario, because now you'll be able to fit the spork in your ear.
$1,200 for a 2-terabyte SSD is crazy. $400 for a 1-terabyte, I'm sorry, $400 for an extra 512 gigs is a massive FU from Apple. It's a massive FU. It's a huge, massive insult. But spending $1,200 on 2 terabytes involves apology. It involves insert some form of physical injury in addition to the insult.
I appreciate that.
Keep things family friendly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, I
can't do it. I can't do it. I can't spend $1,200 on a 2-terabyte SSD. Can't do it. I just can't. That's crazy.
It is a lot of money. Yeah. But at least we agree on what processor you need to put in and how much RAM you need to put in.
Yeah, you know, I'd probably just fine with the cheaper, $300 cheaper 2.6 gigahertz 6-core. I mean, 6-cores. 6 cores is you know, we're rocking and rolling for a portable device. I am pleased with that option. I am also pleased with 32 gigs of memory being an option, because the previous version, 16 gigs was the Mac, right? At max. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. That, which is not pro, was not pro. It was not pro when it was released, and it certainly isn't pro today. 32 gigs is much more reasonable for a pro machine. Storage is insane. If you know an Apple employee who is willing to let you use their yearly discount, you might want to wait till these are available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, getting 25% off certainly makes it a lot. But at $38.99, I kind of believe, especially because I would get 32 gigs of RAM.
Oh yeah.
That to me is sort of a must. I have 24 gigs of RAM in my iMac, and run out of memory all the time. I mean, I do page outs, page in, page ins all the time. Daily. I mean, like it doesn't take very long for my machine to be on before I'm doing page outs and page ins. So 32 gigs is definitely like where I've got to start.
Yeah, I'm with you. And for me, if I were to replace my first gen Touch Bar MacBook Pro now, to me, it wouldn't make sense to do it at all unless I got the 32 gig option.
Yeah. 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 And as far as the processor goes, like the 2.6 gigahertz for me would probably be just fine. 6-core processor. It's an i7. Get the turbo boost up to 4.3 gigahertz, whatever. That's great. if I got the 2.9 gigahertz version for an extra $300, it would be simply so I could use it for that extra year. And yeah. $300 for an extra year's use is great.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, but the reality is the $35.99 will be just fine with me. And, but I'd still probably get the $38.99 if I could.
So, yeah, I'm looking at, you know, yeah, I would go for the 2.9 gigahertz Core i9 processor. If I'm getting the 32 gigs of RAM, I might as well spend the $300 and get the Core i9 and have the machine for an extra year. So it looks like for me that my base price would be $46.99.
$46.99? Really? Oh, because you're going...
Because I'm still going to do the 2 terabyte SSD. I'm saying yeah, this is if
that's
I...
That's crazy. Why would you do that? Why do you hate yourself that much?
What I hate is when I get 2 years down the road and realize that I should have spent the money and now I have no way to go back and fix the problem.
I'd rather just save that $1,200 for upgrading a year earlier. How's that?
Yeah, well.
$1,200 for 2 terabytes is crazy, man. It's crazy. Screw you, Apple. You're saying screw us, so screw you back. It's crazy.
And yet, I would do it.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
But it also makes the computer valuable for resale.
Not $1,200 more.
No, but...
Not even close. I mean, like, that would allow you to get, like, an extra $200 from it.
Yeah, when you go to sell it. More use out of it than that.
Yeah, whatever. But I could argue that your attitude about this... Your willingness to pay it
is
possibly the proof of that Apple's.
Oh, you know, I see. I get it. Apple's pricing is my fault. I understand.
No. I'm saying that your reaction suggests that my attitude about this is wrong, and that Apple has made the best choice for shareholders.
They probably have. The 4 terabyte pricing, I think, is totally bonkers.
So the 2 terabyte pricing is bonkers. Apple has always overcharged
spending the money.
Apple has always overcharged for RAM and storage. Always.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Since Steve Jobs came back, certainly.
Oh, even before that, they always skimped on RAM and overcharged for giving you more. And I remember just balking at what it was going to cost to have 4 gigabytes of RAM in a Mac because Apple was charging so much money.
If you were talking about 4 gigabytes of RAM, that was after Steve Jobs came back. Hashtag just saying.
Yeah. But, no, I'm talking about Quadras.
No, you're not talking about Quadras. No one was doing 4 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah. 4 gigabytes of RAM there wasn't 4 gigabytes of RAM in the Quadra 610.
You couldn't get 4 gigabytes of RAM in a computer at that time, man. Talking about.
How much could we get back then?
Quadra RAM. Let's find out. Sausage.
Total sausage.
Macintosh Quadra 4 megabytes, brother.
Oh, 4 megabytes.
No, it was expandable to 256 megs.
Yeah. All right. See, megabytes, gigabytes, after long enough, it all bleeds together for your computers.
Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, the memory that my Quadra 610 DOS compatible shipped with was not enough for the computer to actually run. I mean, seriously. It was
16 gigs is enough to run. I don't think 16 gigs, getting back to today's MacBook Pro, 16 gigs is not pro. 16 gigs isn't even close to pro, but it is enough to run a MacBook. I mean, that's at least doable. Yeah. It's just not pro.
Yeah.
All right. So bottom line, storage prices are insane. RAM prices are a little pricey, and the rest of it I'm okay with. What I didn't do any research on
exactly what kind of discrete GPU that's coming with. I don't know if they're doing anything that's modern, or if...
Hold on, I will tell you, because I wrote an article this morning. Let me find my little article right in front of me. MacBook Pro Touch Bar. Here we go. All right, so the 13-inch comes, let's see, Intel Core i5 processor, 8 gigs of RAM, Intel Iris Plus Graphics 655. The 15-inch MacBook Pro comes with the lower processor speed one, includes a Radeon Pro 555X graphics card with 4 gigs of RAM, the 2.9 gigahertz, no wait, the 2.6 gigahertz, so it'd be the faster of the two standard models. That one comes with the Radeon Pro 560X graphics card, 4 gigs of RAM.
There's no way it's current top of the line. Apple never seems to do current top of the line GPUs anymore.
I don't know what the current top of the line is for...
Current mobile... top of the line GPU. I'm wondering if this will turn anything useful. Best graphic cards 2018. This was in May 30 from PC Mag. Do we have mobile? Gotta go ahead and spell that without some semicolons. Nope. Wrong article.
Oh, the Intel graphics chip that it comes with as well, because you know you always get that to go along with a graphics card for battery saving. That's Intel UHD Graphics 630. So that's still better than the only graphics you get on the 13-inch.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's an NVIDIA site that doesn't really help.
Nope.
Here is benchmarks that are formatted by someone who's apparently stuck in 1997.
Please tell me there's GeoCities style animated fire torch GIFs or GIFs.
So what is it again? 580, did you say?
Is that what I said? Oh, no. The top of the line is the Radeon Pro 560X.
Well, there's a 580 out there. So, you know, there you go.
And that's
a 570 out there too.
Are those for mobile?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, whatever. All right. Then there's the Blackmagic EG. This is breakout box. It has a built-in video card that is not upgradable. Is that right?
Yes. Hold on. I will give you the specs on that because I wrote about that today too. Okay. So Blackmagic eGPU, it has AMD Radeon Pro card with 8 gigs of RAM, has a HDMI 2 out port, 2 Thunderbolt ports, and 4 USB 3 ports.
Yeah, well, who cares about the ports? This is the card that's in it. $699, right?
$699. And it's not upgradable, so it's not like down the road you can get a better
card. Why would they do that?
I would speculate.
I know why they would do that. Well, the eGPU that Apple's going to release for the Mac Pro next year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Will almost certainly be upgradable. And this is a device for mobile, so mobile devices, mm-hmm. I guess. So it's not a...
I think what they did was decide that they were going to create something that had a smaller footprint and was quieter.
Yeah, fair enough. And the reality is if you want an upgradable eGPU, just buy a breakout box.
Yeah.
Buy any GPU that's Thunderbolt 3 that basically has slots and you put your video cards in.
yeah, there you go. And this is designed so that you can take it out of the box, plug it in, and you're done.
Yeah, and the pricing isn't awful, $699. That's not awful pricing. So great, you know, we'll take that. I am surprised to see Touch Bar on the new MacBook Pros.
Yeah, I was a little surprised as well. I like my Touch Bar. If it was gone, and actually I said this on Daily Observations this morning, if the Touch Bar had been removed, even though I really like it, I wouldn't have felt bad.
It feels like, I mean, when Touch Bar was not on iMac Pro, I thought it was a dead product walking. Product idea. I don't even know. What do you call it? Feature. Dead feature walking.
There we go.
And so I'm surprised to see it on the MacBook Pro still. And it makes me, the fact that it is on the MacBook Pro makes me triple down on being weirded out that it's not on the iMac Pro. If Apple is going to do a feature like this, put it everywhere so that we can get used to it.
Well, and so developers will support it.
Yes. Yes. No one trusts Apple with this thing. No one. Why would you trust Apple with this thing? Right? This is like 3D touch, force touch. Isn't there a third name for that too?
3D
touch. No, it's just 3D touch and force touch. But it's not available on all devices. It's kind of one thing on the Magic Trackpad, but it's kind of something else on iPhones, and it's not on iPad at all. Right? I mean, like, who's going to try? Like, no one trusts Apple with the Touch Bar.
Yeah, you need to put it everywhere, and then developers will support it.
Yes.
Right
and
now.
I need to be able to, like, you know, go from one machine to another machine and have it be there so that it's consistent for me.
Yes, it's frustrating enough on iOS when I try and force touch or 3D touch, whichever it is there, because honestly, I can't remember. But, you know, I will do the firm press on something on my iPhone and then go and do the same thing on my iPad. And it's frustrating that it doesn't work. Like, even if something as simple as you're talking with a friend and they say, oh, that app you're using, I want to go get it. So you just want to share the link to the app with them. Well, the only place you can do that is on an iPhone that has Force Touch or 3D Touch, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And give me my App Store back on my Mac.
I do kind of miss that.
Yes.
A lot, actually.
Yes. Stop doing less and less with more and more.
So
nuts. I'm getting cranky. I'm getting really crankier, but I am surprised to see the Touch Bar on the MacBook Pro still.
Yeah. And so the Touch Bar on the MacBook Pro still being there makes me a little more hopeful that we'll see it on an external keyboard for the Mac Pro. And then as an accessory for the iMac Pro, it should be on all the Pro computers.
It's very nice to meet you. My name is Lucy. Now I'm going to hold this football. I'd like you to kick it.
I know. And
I'm channeling John Keith there, but you know,
it's something I would like to see
slightly more obliquely, but just, you know, give credit where it's due. I if Apple is going to do, you know, okay. All right. Give us the toaster fridge. Because it turns out toaster fridges are good. And if you're going to do the Touch Bar, do the Touch Bar. Don't send me do the Touch Bar. Put the Touch Bar on all the devices. All of the Mac should have the Touch Bar if Touch Bar is going to exist anywhere.
You know, I'd be okay even if it was just all Pro Macs. Because then you could have this as a feature for Pro users.
Yeah, all right, fine. Fine.
But yeah, fine. It needs to be on more than the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
All right. So with all the bagging we've done.
Yeah, let's give a summation.
I actually really like the new MacBook Pro. I think it's really nice. I think it's really cool. And I love that it finally has 32 gigs of RAM. And if I was in the market today to buy a new MacBook Pro, I would absolutely drop money on this thing.
Yeah, I would too. I like the processor availability. I like the RAM options. I can stomach... I can stomach the 1 terabyte storage price, but only if I hold my nose. I otherwise think this is a pretty good device. This Blackmagic eGPU is a fine device. It's not rewriting any rules by any stretch of the imagination. I would even say, by the way, it's not anywhere near pretty enough. Like who designed that thing?
Blackmagic.
Oh,
the giveaway.
Oh, that's not an Apple design product.
Yeah, this is a product that Blackmagic designed exclusively for Apple.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay, all right. That my mistake. In fact, I would really appreciate it if you would go back and edit out my ignorance.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Don't want anyone knowing what a numbnut I am.
I'm so good. The edit's already done.
That's fantastic. All right, man. God, you are good. So, all right. Well, that explains why it's not all that. So, yeah, anyway, but that device... They're unveiling it. That's great. That's fine. That's good. Processor fine.
Yeah, I
think. Yeah, I would buy this device. I would buy this device, but I 1 terabyte is absolutely the most I would pay for.
All right. So you and I, we'd both buy it. I would just drop a little more money on it than you would.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well,
let's set up a lemonade stand.
So let me ask you this. I mean, like, that was a lot of kvetching. We spent more time kvetching than we did. I spent more time kvetching than we did talking about the things that we do like. I mean, are we like being like pretty princesses about this?
Yes.
About this other stuff?
Absolutely. However,
no, I don't think we are.
Wait. I was giving you a however. We are absolutely being pretty princesses about this. However, we have been disappointed and frustrated for so long, it's inevitable that we are going to be pretty princesses about this. Because we feel like we haven't gotten what we want for so long. We finally get something, and we still have all that frustration. It just doesn't magically go away. So, yeah, it was going to come out. And
I disagree. If this same device, it had reasonable prices, even semi-reasonable prices for storage, I'm not complaining. And we're still going to be questioning Touch Bar's future.
Yep.
Right. But we spent a whole lot of time complaining about the pricing for storage. And I think that pricing is insane. It is crazy. And I think that Chaffin's Razor says that Apple is just freaking crazy on this particular angle.
Yeah, it sure seems crazy. And it sure seems like a lot more than we ought to be paying, regardless of whatever it is that's happening behind the scenes to make the price high.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems artificially high.
Yeah. So I guess all of which is a very good way of saying that... that we do like this device. We acknowledge that we spent a lot of time complaining, but the thing we were complaining about is pretty legitimate. It doesn't completely destroy in any way whatsoever the overall machine, though.
Yeah, and if I was in the market today, I'd buy the crap out of that thing, and I'd be really happy with it. I'm really happy with my first gen Touch Bar MacBook Pro, even except with the keyboard. Frustration of the keyboard. I mean, keyboard is just a big problem, but the rest of the computer I really enjoy. Yeah, well, I get to work with an external keyboard most of the time, so.
Yeah, that's a fair point. All right, so short topic. I want to make 50 sure.
50 minutes talking about the MacBook Pro.
Do we skip topic two?
Well, since we have like 10 minutes left.
What if I give you the 20 seconds? What if I give you 20 seconds?
Give me 20 seconds.
Apple should not have inserted code into iOS to kowtow to the Chinese.
Yep, I am with you.
Yeah, we're referring to a bug that essentially writes Taiwan out of existence in China and only in China.
Also the Taiwanese flag emoji.
Yeah. To satisfy their like denying reality nonsense. And again, I'm trying very, very difficult, trying very hard to not make you have to edit.
Thank you.
So Apple should not have inserted that code. The fact that it caused a bug and is the reason why we know about it is just, I don't know. Apple kowtows to China too much. Annoys me. I know Tim Cook's thing is like our feeling is that being there is better than not being there for the people in that market. But I feel like Tim Cook kowtows too much.
Here's the thing that really bugs me. If Apple's willing to do something like this for one government, what are they doing for other governments that we just haven't figured out yet?
Right. Right.
And I trust Apple a lot, but things like this Taiwan bug, it chips away at that trust to a degree.
But the Taiwan bug, putting obeying Chinese law, iCloud. I think Apple should have pulled iCloud out of China rather than allowing a Chinese government owned company to be a partner in iCloud management.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Et cetera. There are many instances where Apple obeys Chinese law, and the Chinese government will just keep asking and asking and asking, demanding and demanding and demanding and insisting and insisting and insisting. They're not asking. And so, I mean, there's no win here. And I'd like to go back to the time that Google pulled out of China rather than to censorship.
Yeah, that was a really nice move on Google's part. And I mean that in a legitimate
nice way. Yeah, nice is, I don't like that word. It was a brave decision.
Yeah, it was
brave. Well, you know, made less brave by the fact that they didn't have much market share to begin with.
Doesn't matter.
It was certainly, it was a principled stand one way or another.
Yeah, and it was nice that they made that principled stand. I like that.
Yeah, what's that word, nice? Speaking of not nice.
So much for only 20 seconds, but yes.
Ajit Pai, not nice. You know what this guy's doing now? Did you catch this thing that he's doing, this thing?
I'm going to play straight man. No, Brian, I haven't. Tell me about this.
Ajit, this comes from Ars Technica reporting.
Mm-hmm.
John Brodkin. The FCC is changing, they're voting on it to, I believe, tomorrow. Is this tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Nope, today.
Yeah, so like they're voting today. On Friday the 13th.
Is it?
Tomorrow's Friday the 13th, because today is Thursday the 12th. You're doing a Google search to see if tomorrow's Friday the 13th.
No, 13th. I'm doing a good schedule to vote Thursday. Yeah, they're voting today.
Oh, okay.
This article is from yesterday.
Oh,
from Ars Tech.
Oh, so yesterday if we had been recording on a regular day.
Yes. Let's blame that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So they're doing a rules change that will essentially means, well, okay, no, let's not back into this. The rules change means that, where do we start on this? So consumers can file an informal complaint or a formal complaint against ISPs.
And it changes the procedure for informal complaints.
Informal complaints are free, and there's some 50,000 of those a year, 75,000 a year. I don't know. There's a lot.
There's a lot every year.
And, of course, you know, a lot of those are nonsense. But a lot of them are not nonsense. And then for $225?
$225.
Yeah. For $225, you can file a formal complaint, which actually requires...
It requires a court appearance on your behalf.
But not the ISP's behalf?
No, once it's a formal complaint, everyone has to show up.
Yeah, the party. Yeah, right. So, and of course, there aren't very many formal complaints filed because it costs money and work and time. Mm-hmm. But, and there's lots of informal complaints. And of course, you know, most of those, nothing happens with the ISPs are required to respond within 30 days.
Right.
And if they don't, and the FCC gets involved, it can be escalated into a formal complaint.
Right.
I believe. I think I'm getting that right. Let's go with that, right?
Yeah, that sounds right. So it's good enough for now.
Okay, here's what the rule change would do.
Okay.
The rule change still requires the ISPs to respond in 30 days, but there's no requirement whatsoever that the FCC get involved and then nothing.
Right. And if the carrier does not reply in 30 days, it doesn't matter because
it will no longer matter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It will no longer matter.
Which essentially makes the informal complaint something that ISPs can just ignore.
Yeah, not
they
just,
can just ISPs, ignore them.
All carriers. So if you have a complaint against your cell service provider.
Yeah, right. That's a very important.
Or your correction. Cable TV or Dish TV provider.
Yes. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So what this essentially means is that these carriers no longer have to bother replying to these complaints, which is great for the carriers and stinks for us. And it's another instance of this person prioritizing carriers over what's good for consumers.
Yeah, it concerns me, well, on many levels, but my immediate concern is that this will be a change that makes it much easier for ISPs to do as they please now that they don't have net neutrality controls in the way we did before. So if users or customers start complaining about, hey, my Netflix stream is always cutting out, and so Xfinity, Roadrunner, whoever, what are you going to do about it? Well, now they can just get radio silence.
Right. And the vote has gone through. The three Republicans voted for it, and Democrats against it. It's currently 3-1 on the board, on the commission, I mean.
So that means that the change is happening and...
Yep. It's done. So, you know, if you care about net neutrality, if you care about not having people in charge of the commission who prioritize the people who have proven that they will screw you at every opportunity in charge of themselves, right? If you care about these things, think about who you're voting for.
You know, when I look at what the FCC is doing under Ajit Pai, it feels to me like they are actually regulating themselves out of
their regulation
job.
Business.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Leaving the people who have proven, leaving the companies who have proven again and again and again that they will screw you at every opportunity, leaving them in charge of themselves. And it is a ham-fisted assault on decency and logic and reasonableness. It is insane to me. Listen, I don't care which party you're voting for if you're voting for on this issue. If I mean, like, so far, the GOP has shown again and again and again that they're just fine with the people who have proven that they will screw us at every opportunity being in charge of themselves. But if you can find someone in that party to support who does not support this stuff and who does support net neutrality, support them. Great. Let's just get people in voted in who support net neutrality and who support things like the ISPs being held accountable And the carrier's being held accountable.
Yeah, I like accountability. I like that idea a lot.
He's just doing so much damage. He's doing so much damage to the United States. I cannot fathom the only thing that makes, I have no proof of this. I don't even think that this is the case. The only thing that would actually make sense is that he's being given hordes of money by the carriers. I don't think that's happening. Like, I think he's just actually a true believer in how awesome it is when capital runs amok.
Yeah, I don't think that people are dumping money in his pockets.
No, I don't. I'm not accusing him of taking bribes. I am not
what he's saying.
Accusing him of taking bribes. I am accusing him of being a stooge for carriers, for ISPs, for wireless carriers. He's a stooge for them. I don't know why he's a stooge, but he is.
I think that his philosophies and interests happen to align with theirs.
Yeah, probably. I would feel better about this if he was being bribed. That would at least make some sense. But the things that he says do not make sense. His arguments do not make sense. The facts do not support his arguments. The FCC's own data does not support his arguments. I'm focusing on net neutrality here, and not deliberately. I don't know. I have no idea what justification they use for this particular rules change that we're talking about today. But the net neutrality stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Part of the justification is that they're just bringing the wording in line with what they say is the policy and procedure that's been followed even before Ajit Pai was the FCC chairman.
Yeah, fine. But this rule change makes it impossible for them to interfere.
Yeah, and the idea of we're not changing anything doesn't sit right with me, because if you're not changing anything, then why are you changing the wording?
Right. At least with the old wording, the FCC did have the power to intervene on something. I'm not suggesting that the FCC needs to get involved in 50,000 complaints about a bill.
No, and right? They don't get involved in most of the complaints.
Yeah, but at least being able to intervene if necessary was like, why would you deny yourself that own power, that ability? I mean, that's there are doesn't make like I would feel happier if he was being bribed. That would at least make okay, I get it. All right, fine. You're being given loads of money, but I don't think this doesn't seem to be the case.
No, I don't think he's taking money.
And if the arguments, I said frickin', by the way.
I know.
Well, it didn't sound like it to me, but
it did to me, and you know it sounded like that to me because I didn't start whining at you about having to actually do an edit.
Yeah, there are philosophical debates to have about governance. There are reasonable, there are genuinely legitimate different positions that people can have on the role of regulators. Some people are going to favor more regulation. Some people are going to favor less regulation. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to favor no regulation. Some people will favor government controlled markets. I'm not for that at all. But what freaks me out about this guy is how he keeps doing things at odds with reality, making arguments that are not supported by the facts. Not even getting into the fact that the Russian bot farms were filing comments in favor of ending net neutrality. Oh my God. This crap is driving me nuts, Jeff.
I hadn't picked up on that. But what I'm hoping is that today was like this cathartic therapy for you.
Nope. Find a politician that will represent you, that will be, that will bring sanity back to the FCC. I don't care what party they're in. Just find someone with some integrity.
Integrity. Yeah, we need a little bit more of that.
We need a lot more of that. Find someone with integrity that isn't hell-bent on putting the ISPs in charge of our data.
Yep, I'm with you. I am totally fine seeing appropriate regulations in place to ensure that we have true net neutrality and that we have protections when and recourse when ISPs, carriers, and other companies act in ways that are against good business practices and can harm us as consumers.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. Why don't you take us out before I blow a gasket?
Okay, I can totally do that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. There's also that Facebook thing, and I bet you know the link.
Oh yeah, I didn't ever get to that, did I?
Oh, no, guess not.
No, I didn't get to that. Facebook.com/group/contact.
And that's awesome because Facebook apparently doesn't want anyone using the site because you broke out. Facebook.com/group/context machine.
Yes, that's the one.
That's the one.
That's the one. And our content is written by the good people. Observer bandwidth provided by CashFly. The bass by Boom. Recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Of course, your ISP decides that what you really meant to do was go somewhere else because they can do that now. As long as they tell you, as long as they tell you that they're gonna screw with you, it's A-OK. Thanks to Ajit Pai.
It's A-OK.
Makes no sense.
We'll get you new meds. It'll be fine.